While you're standing, please take your Bibles and open to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, we'll read our scripture for this morning and I'll pray. And then I'll just jump right into the message to get us done this morning. But don't worry, don't put your shoes on yet. Psalm 138, we're going to read all eight verses this morning. And we're going to read these responsively. I'll read verse 1. You join me out loud on verse 2. I'll read verse 3. You join me on verse 4. We'll read through the passage of Scripture this way. Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8. Let's read these again responsively. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. And for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will be perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. I stand before you a needy sinner, just like every person in this room. I pray that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to work through me today. Allow him to do what I cannot do. Could you meet each and every person's need this morning at the level they need it met? Please help us today with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, I'd ask you that you make sure your phones are off and on vibrate or whatever, and you stay in place unless it's just a dire emergency. I want you to listen very carefully today. I really believe that if you'll listen today, not only could I teach you something, but I could give you something, especially you young people, that you could carry with you the rest of your life that will help you. I'm going to start with something that's a little bit basic. And I'm just going to need your help for a moment. So everybody look at me. I'm better looking than what you're looking at anyway, especially if you're looking at him. All right, now, the Bible says that God made man in his image. That means this: God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That there's a fancy Greek word. It means triune, three in one. Bible also says that God made man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Everybody understand that? So we have a body. Stand up there, body. It's kind of scrawny. Doesn't look very good. But we have a body. That means that is the structure that holds your insides in. It holds the real you. Let's see here. Brother Barnes, come on up here. The Bible says that every soul shall be fat. That wasn't in the notes, by the way. You'll stand here beside Brother Dorsey. So we have a body. Then the Bible says we have a soul. Our soul is that which allows us to communicate with fellow people. That's your personality. That's your brain. Some of you are pretty weak in soul. That is your ability to communicate with fellow mankind. Then the Bible says man has a spirit. That is our ability to communicate with God. So we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now watch this. These two, Brother Michael, you step out there. This is going to be hard compressing all this into there. This is how it's supposed to be. I still had to push it in. So you have a body that has a soul and a spirit inside of it. Stay right where you're at, fellas. But here's the problem. When man sinned, his spirit died. Bible said to Adam and Eve, in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Their body didn't die. Their ability to communicate with each other did not die, but their spirit died. So a lost person has a body and a soul. Only the Christian, Bible says, according to John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. When a person gets saved, their spirit is reborn. The word used is regened or regenerated. You get regeneticized. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again. The body doesn't get born again. The soul doesn't get born again. The spirit gets born again. Not only that, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells. That gives man the ability to talk to God, not just talk to other man. Thank you, fellas. You can have a seat. It's important that you know that for today's sermon. Now, if you'll listen to me, I really believe, by the way, we sometimes interchange the word soul and spirit. They're two separate things. Your soul can go to heaven, but only if your spirit goes there. See where I'm going with that? In other words, where your spirit goes, the soul follows. Now, watch this. Man was made with a spirit, and the Bible says that that's which allows us to communicate with God. And the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not in soul. In spirit, not in soul. Now watch this. The spirit and the soul are not the same. God tells us here in Psalm 138, verse number 3. I love this. One of the sweetest statements in Scripture. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He didn't say he strengthened my spirit. He said he strengthened my soul. Did you know that your soul can get discouraged? Did you know your soul can get down? Do you know that your soul can get overwhelmed? That is, in modern language, depression. It's anxiety. Nervous breakdowns. That's the soul. It's not the spirit. In the day when I cried, that means somebody was going through a hard time. You don't cry when you're happy. Well, at least men don't. you know, usually you're not crying when you're happy. You cry because something negative, something contrary, something very overwhelming, something very grievous has come unto you. Can I tell you something? God says it's then that he can strengthen our soul. Too many churches deal with a don't get mad at me. I call it the spooky world. All those things that are spooky, weird. That's not what God is. You see, I found this statement interesting. Our souls can become weak. For it to need strength, our soul can become weak. In other words, you can't get strength unless you're weak. Now watch this. I love this. If it is that, by the way, there are people in this room today, your soul is weak. There are people in this room today, your soul is in despair. There are people in this room today, your soul is in anger, in bitterness, in depression, or anxious and overwhelmed. Can I tell you something? If it's not, one day it will be. Hang on, it's coming. If it's not right now, it's coming. Maybe it will be the death of a loved one. Maybe it will be a child breaking your heart. Maybe it will be financial strain. Maybe it will be difficulty at work. Maybe it will be a health issue. Maybe it will be a marriage issue. But everybody in this room someday, if not today, will have a soul that is weak and in need of strength. Can I tell you something? God's not like the government that he doesn't just point out a problem. When God says there's a problem, he says, I'll show you how to get the answer to your problem. God gives us a recipe here in Psalm 138, how to get strength for our soul. Did you ever meet crabby people? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Folks, you didn't have to point out Ellen that fast. Now, folks, I am one of those people. Honestly, I'm a shy person by nature. I know you don't believe that, but I really am. I force myself not to be. But if I go to a store, I've been doing this for a long time. Did you ever have that person at the store that was working at the cash register that, you know, they ate nails for breakfast and chewed up glass for lunch? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul. And I always played this game with my kids and my wife. I'm going to get that person to smile. I just believe in making somebody smile and having a good day. And usually I pick the hardest target. I was there one day. I had a lady ahead of me. God bless this lady. She had about $17 worth of groceries at Walmart. And she pulled out her change purse and dumped out every bit of change she had on the counter. You know, that poor cashier had to stand there and count pennies and nickels and dimes by the gajillions. And there were more pennies than anything. And they weren't rolled. I mean, just loose. And the line kept getting longer and longer and longer. And more and more and more impatient people got. More and more upset the poor lady counting all the change was getting. It got so bad, I said, can I help y'all? And the little girl at the cash register, please. I said, give me a couple of you other fellas. Come on, let's go. I had four people counting change. Put the dog. I mean, in no time, we had it fixed. Finally got that poor little old lady out. And bless her heart, she probably, that's all she had. I get it. I was not upset with her. I was just trying to keep everybody else from killing her. I got up there and I don't even remember what it was. It's been so long ago, but maybe $20 worth of stuff. And that poor cashier, she was, you could see the blood was going like this. She was a little upset. And she told me how much it was. I said, can I pay for that in pennies or nickels? And she looked at me and I said, gotcha. She said, now that was funny. And I got her to smile. The guy behind me wasn't really laughing at first. I got her to smile. I walked up there one time, and this lady was really crabby. My daughter was hanging on my arm. She was about 9 or 10. She's not going to hang on your arm. But she was hanging on my arm, and she said, Daddy, this one looks pretty tough. You got a challenge for you on this one. And before too long, I walked up, and I said, boy, that bad today? Yes. I said, wow. I said, what happened? She said, do you really want to hear? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'd be glad to. Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not. Tell me about it. She told me she had somebody that broke her heart that day. I said, let me pray for you. Stand there at the cash register. I prayed for that lady. When I walked away, she said, Pastor, will you have a good day? I said, I will if you smile. She said, thanks, Pastor. I walked away. My daughter said, even that one you got. I said, yep. Can I tell you something? Everybody gets to the point where it's hard to smile. Everybody has a soul that gets down. We've all been there. Let me help you with God's recipe. First of all, God says the first thing in the recipe of how to get strength for your soul, it's found in verse number 1. God says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Folks, we need to learn how to praise the Lord. I'm not talking about laying on the floor and flipping and flopping and saying, you got it. Whatever you got, I don't want. I'm not talking about jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and saying all the motorcycle names backwards. That's not praise. We humans seem to only focus on our problems. Did you know it can be bright and sunny out and you're complaining about the one cloud you saw yesterday? Where it's going to rain tomorrow? You see, praise is thanking God for what he has done for you. That's all that the word praise means. It means thanking God for what he has done for you. Folks, you have air to breathe. You have something to praise God for. And it's not L.A. air that you got to sift it through your teeth before you breathe it. We have failed to take time to remember all the good things God has done in our life. How many of you had plenty of food to eat already this morning? And there's food in the cupboard or it's on the getting ready to go on the table or in down the pie hole, amen? We're so spoiled, we even fail to thank God for the food we eat. You got clothes on. We got plenty. Most of us have more clothes than we can wear. And some people need to put more clothes on. Now, we have a roof over our head. We may not drive the fanciest car or live in the most expensive house, but we have our needs met in America today. We have much to praise God for. Many of you have jobs to go to, or you're retired and have enough to live on. You might not be living high on the hog, but at least you're making ends meet. You have enough health to be here this morning. I was talking to Beth. Her mama had a stroke. Is it this week or last week? About 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, her mama had a really bad stroke, and you pray for her. But she's starting to come out of it a little bit. And poor Beth, God bless her, she fell and broke her arm or broke her leg or broke her shoulder, and she laid on the floor for hours crying and screaming to get help and finally got help, and she's had a rough go. By the way, that's when... Where's Jeannie at? She was in the hospital. I was there visiting her and found out she came in. And man, I was making my rounds and I didn't even leave. Folks, this thing, if we're a hospital, don't take it too seriously, all right? You know, there are still things we can praise God for. We're not supposed to praise God for the bad or the hard things. Be careful that you don't get so wrapped up in this thing that, you know, you bust your hand with an hammer and say, oh, praise God, I broke my thumb. Now, folks, that's just ridiculous. You can praise God you didn't hit the other nine, but I wouldn't be praising him that you hit your thumb. You say, why? Because that's not something you praise God for. You shouldn't say some of the things you have said when you've done that either. But I can tell you this, we can praise God for when we do face difficult times, he's there with us. I don't enjoy funeral homes. If there's ever a place in the world I hate being, it's a funeral home. And it seems like I've had to spend an awful lot of my life there. Can I tell you something? Praise God I don't have to live there. I don't want to sleep in one of them places. You say, why? They might not think I'm there visiting. And I don't want to go to the basement, you know. I'd rather go by the undertaker instead of the undertaker. You know, poke me twice to make sure I'm going when I go, amen? You see, we're not supposed to thank God for the hard times, but we're supposed to thank God he's there for us in the hard times. I've used this illustration often. Remember the story in the Old Testament? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? They threw three in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looked in and saw four and said, how many do we put in there? They said, three. He said, I see four, and the fourth is like the Son of God. They're loose walking around in there. Hey, fellas, come on out. The Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. Now, there was three thrown in, there were four in the fire, and three came out. Guess what? Jesus is still in the fire. By the way, it never says that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego saw Jesus. They knew something was going on. But Nebuchadnezzar saw him. You see, they weren't real happy about going in, but they were happy when they got out. Now, praise. How about we thank God for what he has done for us? Say, well, the car broke down, late on the house payment. dog threw up on the carpet, wife's mad at me, and the kids won't look at me, and they're sick. Got all this stuff going on, preacher. What can I be thankful for, and what could I praise God for? Guess what? If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Did you know no matter what you can do, if you're saved, you can't be unsaved? Just like I can't be unborn from my mom and my dad. There's times that my dad said, I brought you in this world, I can take you out, but I couldn't be unborn. Did you know that you can praise God that you're saved? You can praise God your name's written in heaven. You can praise God that you never have to die and go to hell if you're saved. Folks, I get excited about the fact I don't have to go to hell someday. I don't know about you, but that's not a place I want to go. I get excited about the fact I have an eternal home in heaven and it's been paid for. I don't have to pay the mortgage on it. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that if you're saved, you have an eternal home in heaven? When's the last time you just looked to God and said, I'm thankful I'm alive today? Dr. Anderson called me on Thursday this week, or Friday. And he said, I said, Doc, how you doing? He said, I woke up on this side of the dirt. I guess I'm doing all right. And he said, the day I don't wake up on this side of the dirt, I'm doing even better. I thought, man, at 88 years old, he's got it. He's got it. Did you know you can praise God for people who love you? So, well, nobody loves me. Look in the mirror. Somebody loves you. Can I tell you something? We have the health to be here today. Yeah, but preacher, I don't feel good. The rightest boys are hurting. Yeah, I know. I got up that way too. My hip hurts. My knee hurts. Back hurts. I'm 52 years old, got the hip of an 80-year-old. I had hip disease as a kid. Guess what? I'm still going. Every time it hurts, it reminds me of what God's done in my life. Can I tell you something? I thank God I got the strength to be here today. I have the health to be here today. I've got plenty of food. Can you tell? It looks like a reverse camel. I got the hump on the front instead of the hump on the back. I'm going to work it off a little bit, but, I have a place to live. God's provided my wife and I a beautiful home in which we live. Thank God. We have a new church building. Thank God we're not stuffed in that stuffy little business building that stunk. I hear the phone. That's mine. No. It was a FaceTime thing from somebody else, and I have mine on off, just so your volume off. So I don't know how that happened. Good night. I got to turn this thing off for good. What's really funny is it's his dad. he's probably preaching in Georgia right now, and he's doing it in his pocket by himself. Never fails. We can thank God in heaven there'll be no cell phones. I seriously had that thing on silence. It's on off now. Can tell you something? There are so many blessings. If God never blessed you again the rest of your life, you still have plenty to praise him for. Say, how do you praise God? You ought to take a piece of paper out or a 3x5 card out and take 60 seconds every day. And write down a list of things in which you could praise God for. And then take the next 14 minutes and praise God for those things. Everybody could take 15 minutes out of your day and praise God for something. Praise is a very important part of having a healthy soul. Because it keeps you from focusing on your problem. Too many people think about their problem too much. Take time every day to praise God. Number two. Worship is the next ingredient. Look at verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Now I want you to notice something. The word worship is a very interesting word. The word worship, and I need everybody to think like an adult and a mature adult for a moment here. Worship is loving on God. Worship is telling God how much you love him and how wonderful he is. That's all worship is. By the way, there is no such thing. Don't get mad at me. This is where I'm old-fashioned. There's no such thing as public worship in the Bible. Notice on the sign it says Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, not Sunday morning worship. You love on God in private. You don't love on him in public necessarily. Now, I'll hold hands with my wife and kiss her in public, but I'm going to love on her home a whole lot different than I love on her here. Everybody got it? And that's the same term that worship is, just so you know. We're to be loving on God in an intimate way, but you do that in private, not in public. You see, just God wants us to take time to realize how great he is, how wonderful he is, and how marvelous he is. We're so wrapped up in how good we think we are. You know, it's not hard to compare yourself to another sinner, but compare yourself to God for a while. When you get alone and say, God, you're so wonderful. Your love exceeds all the love of this earth that's ever been. You are the source of it all. Do you ever think about how much God loves? Do you ever think about how much power God has? You think you've achieved something great in life. Because all God has to do is speak and you're done. These people say, well, I saw God. Can I tell you what? If they come back bragging about it, they didn't see him. Any time in the scripture where anybody ever saw God or his holiness, they said, woe is me, not look at me. Just so you know. Can I tell you something? The closer you get to God and the more you grow as a Christian, the less like a Christian you're going to feel. Because then you're comparing yourself to him and not somebody else. And us compared to God, it's pretty ugly. Pretty rough. God wants us to take time to realize how good he is, how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. Did you know God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Did you know we're not supposed to worry about it ourselves, but give it to God? Preacher, how did you get through this building program and all the stress financially of building a building? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's not by my riches, it's by his riches. This is his house, not my house. This is his work, not my work. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him. Good night. I've said this over and over and over again. They call me pastor, but God's the pastor of this church. I'm his assistant pastor. You know, that's a pretty good deal. You got God for a pastor, and it's not me. You'd be glad I'm not God. Because none of us would be here, including me. You see, did you know? Did you ever see two kids? Brother Mike, you've seen this over and over and over again. Two boys about to get in a fight. They get mad at each other. One of my favorite things to hear. My daddy can whip your daddy. Can I tell you something? My God can whip the devil. When I get to where I can't fight it alone, I say, okay, God, I need your help. I'm in a scrap down here and need you to whoop up on this stinking devil here. Say, what is worship? Telling God how wonderful he is. When's the last time you told God how much you loved him? When's the last time I walked into the church early this morning, a little before 5 this morning? I opened up I'd already prayed for about an hour. I opened up the church. I said, good morning, God. Just a little while, we're going to have church. God, I want you to have a good day. I was talking out loud. I say, are you nuts? Well, everybody already knew that. I wasn't talking to you anyway. I was talking to him. Brother Mike, put my key in the door. I said, I can't believe I got a key to God's house. God entrusted me enough. I have a key to his house. God gave me a key to his house and gave me a room here in which to work. I walked through the building. I thought in a little while there'd be a lady here cleaning the bathrooms and the floors and make sure everything was spiffed up. And I thought, we get to clean God's toilets. We get to mop God's floor and vacuum God's carpets. Whew. I don't know about you, but I was telling God, I hope you have a good day. I said, God's people are going to be here. God, you're going to let me preach your words to them. That means you got to work through me. You and I are going to work together today, God. I'm going to be your voice. I'll be your mouthpiece. You just work through me. Can I tell you something? That's what worship's all about. It's not a public service. It's one-on-one, just you and God. By the way, my daddy can whip your daddy. That's my daddy. That's my dad, but my daddy's up there. That's why he said that we could cry unto him, Abba, Father. The word Abba is a Greek word, it's a Hebrew word, which means daddy. Number three, the next ingredient. So first we have praise. Second, we have worship. Verse number two, we have the third ingredient towards the end of the verse. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Everybody listen to this very carefully. God says that his words are above his name. They are exalted above his name. Now listen to this very carefully here. God's word is what makes God's name what it is. God's word is what makes God's name what it is. Folks, if God breaks his word, it ruins his name. How many of you remember the old statement, man's only as good as his word? God's name is only as good as his word. By the way, that's why man shouldn't be rewriting God's words. We shouldn't be messing around with the word of God. Just need the old King James Bible. You don't need all the new ones. Well, the new ones are easier to understand. Do you know when Dad told me to take out the garbage, I didn't ask him to write it in a different way so that I could understand it more clearly? Now, he had a way of making it more clear, but I didn't like how he made it more clear. We had a Board of Education meeting. He applied the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. We had a powwow. He powed and I wowed. Can I say something? God has credibility because of his word. Did you know what God said in his book he will do? Did you know that early this morning the sun came up? By the way, God doesn't flip a switch and it just happens to be there. It comes up real slow. You got to get up real early this time of the year to see it, but it comes up really slow. And guess what? About 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight, that thing will go down real slow and it'll get dark. Say why? Because God put it in motion that way. Did you know the tides keep going as they're supposed to because God put it in motion? Do you know you have plenty of air to breathe because God put it into motion? You have plenty of clean water because he has the water cycle in place. No matter what man can do, he can't mess it up because there's plenty there. It won't run out. Say why? Because what God said he would do, he will do. You can count on it. You can go to the bank with it. Man needs to quit rewriting God's words and quit explaining God. Just start obeying God. If we would get back to obedience to God, we wouldn't have to rewrite God's words so that we could live the way we want to live. When's the last time you read the Bible on your own? I think it's important to come to church and hear the preacher preach, or come to Sunday school and listen to the Sunday school teacher teach. I think it's vital to a Christian. Anytime you can get good preaching, get it. But when's the last time you opened up the cupboard and got the food out yourself and fed yourself? As the old preacher once said, the only people that need fed are babies. Everybody else, you ought to be able to feed yourself. We need to live as much of the Bible as we can. Folks, I thank God I live in America. Amen. I thank God that when I bleed red, white, and blue. Right. I'm careful where I go in public, because if somebody doesn't stand for the national anthem, I'm going to slap them in the back of the head and get them up. Amen. I'll jerk them up by the neck. I don't care. You don't like it, leave it. Don't get me started on that one. I'll preach a whole nother sermon on that one. But can I tell you something? We need to live the Word of God. America used to be a Christian nation. We're running away from it. Did you ever notice we have shootings in a public school, and there'll be people say, "Why did God allow that to happen?" How about 50 years ago when you kicked him out, when you took prayer and the Bible out of the public school system? You kicked him out of the schools, and now you want to blame him for the shooting? Everybody doing okay? How about we put God back in the school and find out what happens? We need to live the Word of God at work. Young people, you need to live the Word of God at your public school. Well, you're not allowed to pray. You're not allowed to take your Bible to public school. That's not true. I went to a public school and took my Bible to a public school every day. Trust me, you can do it. They can't keep you from praying. Everybody doing okay? We ought to live the Word of God at home. Ouch. God's Word sure makes... by the way, God's Word is more sure than your word. He kept His. How about you? If God said it, that's it. Lastly, I must hurry. Now, the part that puts it all together. Did you ever see your wife or your mama make something? Making a cake, puts all the ingredients in, and you know, it just looks like a bowl of goo. It's good goo, but it's goo. There's one thing that has to take place to turn it into a cake. You got to put it in the oven and heat it up. Now, the heat that's applied to these ingredients is this. Look at verse number 3. In the day when I cried. In the day when I cried. You are going to have to face opposition. You're going to have to face heartache. You're going to have to face fear. You're going to have to be put into the oven with all those things for the praise and the worship and the Word of God to come together to bake a wonderful cake in your life. All sunshine makes a desert. Did you know you don't get strong by doing nothing? If you sit on your blessed assurance with your feet up 24 hours a day, you'll get weak. I don't care if you put your chair at the at Gold's Gym. You go there with your membership card and sit down and watch everybody exercise. Sitting there watching them exercise won't get you strong. Well, I have a membership to the gym. Good. What did you do with it? Amen. It takes the opposition. It takes strength to get strength. Amen. You build it by resistance. Did you know the more problems you go through, the stronger you get? Yeah. You young people, listen to me. Can I tell you something? The older you get, the bigger the problems are. Yes. Well, I failed a test. Oh, God bless you. Fail a test when you're my age. Those tests are a lot bigger and a lot more expensive. Can I tell you something? The older you get, the more problems you've been through. By the way, that's why older people are a little unsensitive to what you think is big. Can I tell you why? They've weathered so many storms, they're ready for it. Good night, I hear the thunder and lightning, I don't even flinch anymore. Say, why? I've been through so many storms. I like thunder and lightning. Now, my daughter, ooh, she's scared of them. She's scared of a tornado. Man, I've seen tornadoes. I've seen funnel clouds by the dozens. It doesn't scare me anymore. I respect it. Doesn't mean I'm going to run into one and say, watch this, y'all. There is something called wisdom. But can I tell you something? Just because the clouds get dark doesn't mean it's time to get scared. Can I tell you something? In your life, you're going to have to face the heat of fear. You're going to have to face the heat of grief. You're going to have to face the heat of bad health. You're going to have to face the fear of anxiety. You're going to have to face that fear of hatred and opposition and bitterness and wrath that's come against you. And you're going to have to face those things and weather those things. But when you get through, your soul will be stronger. Amen. I've been through a lot of battles. I've been through a lot of opposition. I know you think everybody loves the preacher. Wrong answer. Man, I've been cussed out by so many people. I've come out to my vehicle and had people write dirty four-letter words all over my truck from one end to the other. Now, the only good thing is most of my enemies are not real smart, so they can only spell four-letter words. That's about the only good thing about it. But can I tell you something? See, does that discourage you? No. No, it just means I'm going the right direction. You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. Folks, I'd be a little worried as a preacher if I didn't face opposition. Because that means my church isn't hurting the devil. You start putting a hurting on the devil, he's going to start fighting back. If I walked up and started hitting Brother Michael, he's only going to take that so long and he's going to fight back. Say, why? You get hit on for a while, you're going to fight back eventually. Can I tell you something? You hit on the devil, he's going to fight back a little bit. But can I tell you something? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I've got enough strength, I can make it. I wish I had good news. I could tell you all your problems are going to go away. They're not. I wish I could tell you that your heartache is going to go away, but it's not. 4 weeks ago today, we had our first service in this building. We were so excited. We were rejoicing. I mean, we were doing flip-flops backwards. We were so excited. During the Sunday school hour, just before Sunday school started, my phone vibrated. It was my son in Florida. He said, Dad, I'm taking Ruth Ann to the hospital. His wife. Ooh. 3 minutes before I walked into that room over there, my phone buzzed and he said, Dad, Ruth Ann lost her third baby. You didn't know it. I came out here as excited as I was before I got that news. I'll be honest with you. My heart was broke. Yes. I don't know why. I promise you one thing. They're getting stronger. I don't like it for them. I'll tell you this. My son said, it's okay, Dad. God likes our babies because he's got three of them there. Whew. I got three perfect grandkids, amen? I know you think yours are, but mine are. I don't understand their heartache. I don't know why. Doesn't matter why. But he had to preach that night, and he did. I had to preach that morning, and I did. You say, what was that? That heat was getting pretty intense. But can I tell you something? God sure is good when it all comes together. They're working towards adoption. Say, does that bother you? Nah. I love any child my kids have. Doesn't matter whether it's biological or not. I love you. Why couldn't I love somebody else? Seriously. Good night. I got more people, family, that aren't related to me than I know. I spend more time with you than I do my biological family. Why wouldn't I love somebody? It doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? It makes you stronger. It really does. I remember the day when that very child, my son, 4.5 months old, lay in St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach, California on a ventilator for 3 weeks. Pneumonia, RSV, and asthma all at the same time. Quit breathing. Had a machine breathing for him for 3 weeks. There were days I'd say, God, will I ever hear his voice? Will I ever hear him say, Daddy, I love you? Will he ever be able to say, Mama, I love you? Well, now he's a preacher. There were days as a teenager I wished I wouldn't have prayed that. I'm teasing. Oh, there were days. He's preaching right now in Miami because his pastor's sick. God's using him. Was it worth it? Yes, it was. Do I want to go through it again? No. But when you're in the hospital, I know what it's like. When your family's in the hospital, that's why I'm there, because I know what it's like to hurt by yourself. I promised God that day I'd never let anybody hurt by themselves if I could help it. You see, something that's uncooked is not good. I'll say one more thing and I'm done. Years ago, oh my soul, probably 27 years, 28 years ago, my wife and I flew from California to go to Minnesota on vacation. Of course, I had preached all day Sunday. We got on a red-eye flight, flew from Long Beach, California to Minneapolis, Minnesota, got off of an airplane, drove from Minneapolis almost to the Canadian border where my in-laws live, 4.5 hours away northeast of Minneapolis, 2 hours above Duluth. Got there. I hadn't slept in a day and a half. My oldest son was just an infant, cried the entire red-eye flight back on a plane. You know how extreme that is. Oh, my soul, just one of those things. And we finally got in. My mother-in-law had dinner. We sat down. We ate dinner. I had a piece of blueberry pie after dinner. My mother-in-law is a good cook, but let me say something. Her blueberry pie wasn't tasting real good that day. I didn't say nothing. I thought maybe it was me. So the next day, I got another piece of pie, and she got a piece of pie, and I started eating on that pie. I'm thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to eat any more pie. She took a bite of that pie, and she spit that thing out. She said, Craig, are you eating that pie? I said, yes, ma'am. My daddy taught me what she feeds me, I will swallow. She said, something's wrong with that. Well, I found out through investigating, and in just a couple seconds, she was turning red. She said, I forgot to bake that pie. She said, I made that and put it in the freezer, and then I just pulled it out and thawed it out, and I forgot to bake that thing. It was raw. She said, put that piece back in there and let me cook that thing. Now, it was pretty chewy, let me tell you. She couldn't believe I ate one whole piece before and didn't say anything. Can I tell you something? It hadn't faced the heat yet. It wasn't as good as it should be. I wish God would take all my problems away. No, you don't. You need those problems. It'll strengthen your soul. By the way, your soul is that which allows you to communicate with other people. Don't let that heat burn you and make you bitter. Did you ever eat something that was burnt It's real bitter. Some of you have allowed the heat to burn you. Don't let it burn you. Go through the heat. Praise God. Worship God. Stay in His Word. Let it strengthen your soul so that you can help others in time of need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I'll just be a moment. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you be honest with God for a moment? Would you let God work for just a moment? Would you answer a question or two just quietly without words? Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. And I would not embarrass you. I'll never call you by name. I'd never come to you. But who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it someday." It's not an experience. It's not a process. It's just a matter of trusting Christ as your Savior. But you say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. Somebody else. All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed for me today, and that was for me." Would you raise your hands? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many. Dozens and dozens and dozens. In a moment, you may put your hands down. In a moment, when the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand a moment ago and weren't sure of heaven, if you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady do the same. If you raised your hand and say, "Preacher, there was something in that sermon I needed today," how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and tell God what you need and get it from Him today? If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in baptism, you come. We'll take care of that this morning. Whatever the need.